You're listening to the Professional Brotherhood Podcast, because when the alarm sounds, nobody cares if you're career or volunteer. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Professional Brotherhood Podcast. And we're doing something a little different today, something I have never done before since the start of the podcast, because as everybody knows, I really genuinely try to keep things kind of generalized and not really speak too personally on specific incidents in my own fire district or in my own department. And, you know, we've talked about incidents within county. To date, our most popular episode is the May Day episode with the two brothers from the Liberty Fire Department who almost, one who was very close to bailing out. If you remember that episode, it was a pretty widely listened to episode. So today I am sitting in my own firehouse here in Rock Hill, New York. I have with me my first assistant chief, Eddie Walsh. Coincidentally enough, Eddie was very instrumental on that fire in Liberty, in the fact that when the brother went to hang out the window and almost bail out, he happened to be on the ground and helped the guys on the ground get the aerial device in position to get this guy picked, so he didn't have to basically jump out the window. So refer back to that episode if you want to listen to that one. Also with me, I have firefighter Chris Filosa. So a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. Yesterday, Monday. What would the date be, guys?
March 11th.
Monday, March 11th. Okay, so yesterday, Monday, March 11th, we had an in-district structure fire here in Rock Hill, something we don't have a lot of, believe it or not. We do a lot of mutual aid structure fires, but our in-district first due structure fire work doesn't happen a lot, which is good, right? The residents are thankful for that, I'm sure. But yesterday we had a in-district residential structure fire, single-story wood frame structure, on about a 3.5 foot crawl space. Chris is giving me the thumbs up because he wants me to embellish the story a little bit. So, Eddie was the first arriving officer on the scene, assumed command. He notified 911 that it was, he confirmed the actual working structure fire. Dispatch protocol, once we confirm a working structure fire, whether we go to a resound or a second alarm or not, is that once we confirm a working fire, we automatically get a writ from a neighboring township and we get a BLS ambulance and an ALS ambulance. So that was going on early in the scene, early in the call. The call was called in by a passerby who noticed smoke coming out of the eaves of this residence. And like I said, we get on the scene and Eddie, calls and confirms the structure fires. You want to add anything to that?
Nope. Went up, on scene, called the fire, did the 360. First arriving engine rolls up. Moments later, our second engine comes up. The guys go get their tools off and go to work. Chris and his crew go to the front door. Another crew takes the second hand line around back, and, Chris is... This is all you now.
All right. So paint a little bit more of a picture. Eddie, how long have you been in the fire service now?
13 years.
All right. So Eddie's been in the fire service 13 years. He's been in the chief's ranks for the last... This is your fourth?
Yeah.
All right. So this is his fourth year in the chief's ranks. I got to say, I was out of town. Little side notes, which I'm going to throw in here as we go along. I was out of town working, heard the dispatch, turned on my scanner app, started, as soon as he confirmed working fire, I kind of started heading back up to district, but I was a good 30 minutes away. And he was cool as a cucumber, which I absolutely love, right? Cool as a cucumber when he got on scene. Super calm when he called his mutual aid, which... I'm extremely proud of, because we all know we have our screamers out there that a garbage can fire sounds like the world is on fire, and that was not what went on yesterday. So that was awesome to hear and listen to. All right, so Chris is on the first Dew engine, right?
I was on the second.
All right, so Chris was on the second Dew engine, okay, but that was the first stretched hose line?
Correct.
Okay. So Chris is on the first hose line off the first Dew engine, though he rode in on the second Dew engine. And tell us what happened from there.
So we get up the front steps, forced the door, and a lot of smoke came out. We pulled the door shut, masked up, and we're ready to enter. I was on the nozzle with two of my teammates behind me, and went in through the front door, took three steps, and I fell through the floor.
All right, so we're gonna come back to lessons learned, right, before the end of this. But what I really want to highlight now is, so the 360 is done, right? The walk around has been done by the first arriving officer. Hazards are noted, right? We have a smoke condition, not a heavy smoke condition, right? We have a smoke condition, but not a heavy smoke condition. Did it self-ventilate?
Self-ventilated just above the front door.
All right, at the peak, right? So there was some self-ventilation at the peak. But no heavy fire, right?
Showing
anywhere.
Fire.
All right. So no heavy fire showing anywhere. So we've got a good smoke condition, no heavy fire, self-ventilation. These guys force the door, go in the front door, and Chris immediately falls through the floor.
And within three steps.
Okay. Now, thankfully, like I said on the intro, this home was built on a crawl space, approximately 3 feet to the bottom of the crawl space, give or take 6 inches. All right. He's going to say it.
It was at least 4.5 feet.
All right. He's going to say it's at least 4.5 feet. All right. Whatever. But you get where we're going. It's on a crawl space. Thankfully, the fact that it was on a crawl space probably saved him from getting more hurt than he did, because we're looking at less of a drop if he had fallen all the way through. Some things that I want to point out that are important to this fire. It was called in by a passerby who saw the smoke condition, right? Eddie gets on the scene, smoke condition, but it's definitely a working fire. There's definitely something going on in this residence. Not heavy fire blowing out the windows, right? The windows were blackened, right? Chris falls through the floor on the first Dew entry. All right. But what's important to note is that when we came, once the fire was controlled and, we were able to get in there and take a look at what was going on, basically what they had was one of those laid floating floors that, interlocks together. Underneath where he fell through, there were two main beams. One was comprised of 4 2x10s nailed together, and the second one was comprised of 3 2x10s nailed together. Both of those beams were completely burnt through. Completely burnt through, with probably a 2 foot gap, 3 foot gap, 2 to 3 foot gap.
Yeah. Least.
On where they burned through, and to the left of the main door was the 2x4s going up the wall, and those 2x4s were completely burnt out as well. So one of the things that we talk about often in the fire service, right, is those hidden fires, those basement fires. What's going on prior to your arrival, right? And we go blasting through the front door. Commonly we talk about it with lightweight wood construction and TGI beams and things that are glued together, right? Because we know they fail faster. But this was solid 2x10 carrier beams. This was solid wood construction, all right, that had burnt through completely. So basically, there's some things that we're not going to talk about, but basically what we know is this fire had been smoldering and burning in this crawl space probably for
multiple hours.
Hours. probably, based on what we know, we think it was smoldering for probably at least 6 to 8 hours, right? Before anybody noticed, before it burned up enough to where it actually showed itself, where somebody passing by noticed it. So had this been a fire in the middle of the night, we probably would have rolled up to what?
Fully involved.
Yeah, fully involved structure.
And it was so windy that I don't think anybody smelled the smoke really, because any smoke that was coming out was being blown elsewhere.
Being blown elsewhere, right, right. So let's talk about lessons learned, right? What are some of the lessons learned from your perspective? And let me backtrack. So Chris has been in, what, about a year? Two and a half years?
Yep.
No way. He hasn't been in 2.5 years.
He's on probation.
What, do they keep him on probation for extra time or
September
something?
September 21st.
Okay, 2.5 years. All right, so he's been in for Oh, that's right. 22 was your probie year.
Yeah.
23, okay, and we're in 24. All right, so listen, time flies when you're having fun for all of us, right? All right, so 2.5 years. Chris has been in for 2.5 years, but just finished
IFO 6 months ago.
Okay, so he just finished his what everybody would call his Firefighter 1 training 6 months ago, right? Okay, so this is one of, you've been on structure fires, but this is one of your
really my first that I'm going interior.
All right, so first, you know, on the knob, front of the line, going through the door, right? And one of our lieutenants was behind you, backing you up, and a second lieutenant was behind him. So two lieutenants, right? We run, our junior officers run on the rigs. So each engine had a lieutenant on it. So he was backed up by two of our lieutenants, right? So plenty of experience there on the line, right? These aren't, you know, first time guys. Chris is the newest guy on the crew, right? They stuck him on the knob, right? Get him a little salty, get him a little dirty, get him some experience, right? And well, we gave him a new nickname now, but we'll get to that later. So lessons learned. What are the lessons learned from your perspective?
Well, so obviously, being new, the adrenaline and excitement of the situation got to me. And once that door opened, and the fact that there were no flames flying through and everything, I never once even considered sounding the floor.
Okay.
So even though that was something I learned in IFO and Firefighter 1, you sound the floor, I failed to do that. And the second thing I did, there was heavy smoke coming at me, but my first couple of steps in, were me in an upright position,
standing
rather than getting low to the ground, and I should have stayed at least. If I can't see, you should be lower than the smoke, or at least try to be.
Right. So, and what did I say to you yesterday when you said, "Oh, I walked in the door and I fell through the floor"? Well, you remember what I said to you?
I don't remember.
I said, "If you can't see your feet, you don't belong on
it." Yeah, that's true. You did say that. I do remember that.
So, absolutely good points, right? And again, we've all been there, right? So we all have still to this day, like, you know, 35 years later, occasionally I get to those jobs where, you know, your adrenaline gets the best of you and you kind of, you know, you lose focus. But
get a little tunnel vision.
Right. Get a little tunnel vision. But, we all remember our first couple of structure fires where, like, we're on the line and
gung-ho to get in and knock it down. And
yep. Gung-ho to get in and do it, you know, and you don't think of anything.
And then I made, like, some inaccurate assumptions when I got there, that one, that it wasn't a big fire, that it was something small, and for some reason it told me it was in the kitchen. And so I figured it's on the first floor. Never once thought that the fire could possibly be below me.
Yeah, yeah.
Never once even crossed my mind.
Yeah, so another, you know, another great
point.
A single
story house, you wouldn't think that, you know, no. Crawl space under there, because it's not on a foundation, it's not elevated besides the two steps to the front door, or three steps, whatever it was.
Fine. I'd love to shrink this down.
So, you know, look, we talk about, and, you know, and some of these are buzzwords we hear all the time, but they're valuable buzzwords, right? Complacency, right? We, you know, we get complacent at times. We get a little tunnel vision, right? You open the front door. You're expecting, because it's a working fire, you're expecting to open the front door and see flame, right? You didn't see flame, right? Did you guys see a lot of flame when you opened the door?
Oh, no. I saw no flame when I opened the door.
Right. So they got a smoke condition, heavy smoke condition when they opened the door. But again, no flame. So you go into that, all right, now I got to find the seat of the fire mode, right? which they did not have. So he takes his first couple of steps standing up, right? Again, mistakes happen, right? If we can't see the environment that we're going into, we should never be standing up. Take a couple steps, and the only thing there that was kind of still intact was that floating floor, because all the supports underneath it were gone. They had burned through and burned out. So basically what we assume happened was this fire started underneath somewhere, smoldered for hours and hours and hours, burnt through the support structures, found its way up the wall, up the wall to the left of the main entryway, eventually found its way out of the building, which was where it self-vented, where the smoke was seen
to the peak
on arrival, right? But again, not a lot of fire, right? Not a lot of fire. So what else? That's valuable, right? Being on our hands and knees, sounding the floor, right? Which, you know, how many guys just blast through the front door and never sound the floor? It happens all the time, yeah. Right? And we talk about it all the time. We talk about construction. We talk about hidden fires. You know, but this didn't come in as a basement fire, right? This didn't come in as an oil burner malfunction. There's nothing in the crawl space. Yeah. There was nothing there.
And
right?
Nobody was home, so we had no layout, no knowledge of anything in the house. It was right. Just a passerby that was driving down the road. Could have been just a chimney that was smoking when we rolled up.
Yeah,
we
didn't absolutely. Know. Absolutely. So what else? What are your other thoughts?
Well, one, never make any assumptions.
Yep.
You know, follow the training you have. I will never go into a fire ever again without sounding the floor. I don't care if it's the least amount of smoke I've ever seen. I'm going to check that floor first. Yeah. Because honestly, I'm very lucky that it wasn't a different setup of a house.
Sure.
You know, where I could have really gotten hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that was the first time I saw flame, was when I fell through the floor. I didn't see much, but all of a sudden I saw some red around me. And I remember thinking, do I feel heat? And I didn't feel heat, but it woke me up.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's give a little credit where credit is due. Chris was backed up by one of our lieutenants, Daryl, right? I think Daryl might have been on the podcast at one point in time for something. I don't remember. There's been so many at this point. I don't remember. But anyway, Daryl's in jail tonight. Not literally. He's working. He's not really in jail. Otherwise, he would probably be sitting here with us as well. But what did he do when you went through the floor?
So when I fell, I didn't know what actually stopped me. I thought it was my elbows to the floor. But what everyone tells me, it was him actually grabbing me. And anybody who knows Daryl, he's quite muscular and strong guy. And I'm thankful he was behind me because he was able to grab me. The other lieutenant pulled his Scott pack and the two of them pulled me out of the floor.
So, again, you know, reiterating the importance of teamwork, right? You know, again, thankfully, this was nobody got injured, right? Chris didn't get injured. Daryl ended up bumping his elbow a little bit and got checked out on the scene and no further medical attention, you know, thank God. Our other lieutenant, Bailey, who was able to, you know, help the two of them, help Daryl get Chris up and out. But the importance of rapid intervention, right? Fast, whatever the hell you call it in your neck of the woods, right? Something that we talk about all the time, and something that is still, especially in rural areas where there aren't a lot of teams per se, still in lots of places an afterthought. All right, and we just recently made the change to our automatic mutual aid, where a fast or a writ is dispatched as soon as we confirm the working fire, because you know, statistics show that the worst things happen to our firefighters within the first 5 to 10 minutes of the fire. And this is
perfect example.
This is a perfect example of that, right? So, you know, again, we've talked about it on the show before. Any of you that know me and have sat through any training know I talk about automatic mutual aid all the time, right? There's certain things that you can set up very easily with your 911 dispatch to just happen, right? It gets dispatched. You don't have to think about it. You know, if your team has to come, our team comes from about 10 to 12 miles away, right? Approximately, yeah. about 10 to 12 miles away in our county. So it, by the time they assemble and get on the road, it's, you know, it's going to be 15, 20 minutes before they get there, you know, but they're being dispatched immediately, right? Again, if we had to roll up on the scene, think about that, then dispatch them, at times it's going to be forgotten. So, you know, the importance of whether you utilize an actual team and you have team designations for RIT or FAST, or you just dedicate one of your incoming mutual aid companies and their interior manpower as your RIT or FAST, whatever you do, that is an extremely, that's extremely, extremely important. Because had this been a worse incident, had it been on an elevated floor, or had it been on a full foundation and he had gone all the way down and through, all right, now you might be talking about more than a couple of guys just grabbing somebody and pulling them back up. Right? You guys agree with that?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to touch on is, again, the cool, super cool technological gadgets that we get to play with that maybe would have made a difference here, right? That, again, is, you know, is it your SOG? Are your guys thinking that I should always have this thing in my hand, right? And that's the thermal imaging camera, right? Now, I don't know what these guys would have seen, and they don't know what they would have seen. But again, had one of the guys on that crew, whether, and it probably wouldn't be the nozzleman, but had, you know, one of the guys behind the nozzleman had a thermal imaging camera and thought, hey, before we break the plane of this door, let me quick scan the building quick, right? And again, we all learn from this, right? And this is a conversation that we'll have here in house, and that we've already talked about a little bit on some side conversations. But had they opened that door and quick scanned that with the thermal imaging camera, would they have seen that heat coming through the floor? Would they have seen something that might have said, "Hey, guys, this doesn't look right," yeah, right?
Very possibly.
Yeah. Again, you know, we don't know. We don't know if they're, you know, we don't know if part of that floor had already given way when once they broke through and they didn't see it, or it was completely covered over by that floating floor, and it was Chris's weight that you know,
dropped
down through. But again, all super valuable lessons, I think, that we thought it was important to put out there for everybody to kind of learn from. What else? You guys have anything else to add?
I don't believe so. Just
no.
Follow your training. That's all I could say.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talk about that all the time, right? But sometimes things happen, and usually it's our mindset, and this is how we learn. If it's valuable to come back and do those table talks and make sure everybody knows, or those tailboard talks, and make sure everybody knows what happened and what we can learn from it and how we can do it better, the next time. We just had one, right? 5 minutes ago. We went to an activated alarm. It ended up being, you know, food in the oven. But afterwards we talked about response. And first engine dropping and laying in, or the second engine backing in and laying out, right? We talked about lays, and we talked about, you know, just how to get everybody to think outside the box and how we could do it better the next time, because we're constantly, we need to constantly be evolving and constantly be learning in the fire service. So, all in all, good stuff. Thank you guys for doing this.
Thank you. Spur
of the moment. And I think it's valuable information to be had. And as always, appreciate everybody for listening in, the feedback and comments that we consistently get. And again, a little something different for me, sitting in my own firehouse talking to the guys I get to do this with every single day. And, you know, thankfully nobody got hurt. And all in all, it was a very well fought fire with as minimal damage as we could expect. I mean, basically, it was contained to the area of origin, which is a success in my book always. thankfully somebody was paying attention and called it in, because once again, had this been going on for another couple hours, we got had it started later in the day and gone into the evening, we probably would have had a much, much different incident, much different end result for the homeowner. So, as always, my friends, don't forget, a paycheck does not make you a professional. How you approach the job does. If you have anything that you'd like to reach out and add, or drop us some comments, professionalvff@gmail.com. That's professionalvff@gmail.com, or at professional.brotherhood on Instagram or the Facebook. And as always, you can reach out to Kara as well at St. Florian Fitness. Stay safe out there, everyone.